Very good morning to Rolene Marks, our Israel reporter. Rolene, how are you?
Good morning, everybody. Can I just take a second to acknowledge the high FM behind the scenes team to do the calling and the answering and the everything? It's always such a joyful experience to cross through to high FM and to the studio, because it's always just a lovely, friendly voice on the other side. Just have to say that, putting it up.
You know what? We'll take it. Mm-hmm. We'll take it. Thank you for that. Rolene, please tell me that Israel is not going to an election in November. I don't think I could cope with it. I can tell you Zanati can't cope.
No, I definitely can't.
There's no chance. In this studio, we can't cope with a November election in Israel. I can only imagine what Israelis must be feeling.
I feel your pain, guys. I really do. And I understand the frustration. But, you know, a lot of speculation this week that perhaps the Prime Minister will dissolve the coalition and maybe move towards elections in November. And let me tell you something. I don't think that the Israeli electorate will stand for that. We have seen a week where there have been increased protests, and they've moved to just outside the Prime Minister's residence, despite an attempt yesterday to try and get the police to move them away. That's not going to happen. But are we going to go to elections? Absolutely not. In fact, it comes from the Prime Minister's mouth. He says any claims that he wants elections are absurd. And according to the recent polls, and you know, I was chatting to Simon yesterday, he says polls surely could well swing it. We have new polls this morning, polls showing that Likud are slipping quite substantially. But, you know, I'm not a believer in polls. We act with our votes. And right now, I don't think that the Israeli electorate would allow an election, not for one second. I mean, could you just imagine us having to corral us now into queues with masks and everything that goes with it? It's not going to happen. So a brief respite, although I do echo our president's very wise words yesterday when he warned politicians, get a grip, get to work, and sort it out.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable how Israel, I can't get over it actually, how Israel has gone from hero to zero in handling this COVID crisis.
There are so many disagreements. The Knesset committee, which was why the coalition was pushed through so quickly after the election, is responsible for making the decisions. And there's such a disparity between what the Knesset Coronavirus Committee votes on and decides on, and what ministers in the Knesset decide on, and of course moves to try and overrule each other. But the head of the Coronavirus Committee, who it was rumored that Netanyahu would move to fire, she says, you know, she's going to continue to ask those harsh questions. She's going to continue to challenge ministerial decisions if we don't have the data to support it. I mean, one of the examples I give, and I know it sounds a bit strange, is the example of the gyms. There wasn't any data to support an increase of infections coming from the gyms. In fact, they could only attribute about 24 infections. So why close the gyms when you allow mass protests to happen? And, you know, we are dreading to see the numbers in the next coming weeks as a result of these mass gatherings. And some of the data earlier this week saying a lot of the spike in infections coming from home, and people say to me, what do they mean it's coming from home? What, do you get it from your kettle? Mm-hmm. No, it's not that. It's that people are quite flagrantly flouting the law, having these gatherings at home, having these celebrations of the end of school proms, you know, having raves. One was bust earlier this week. This is where we are seeing an increased amount of infection. So, you know, this is why there's such disparity, because the focus seems to be all over the place, if there's any focus at all. And now the military saying, you know, we want to step in. We want to take more of a role. We managed it successfully the first time around. Naftali Bennett, who was the defense minister that time around, people saying, bring him back. We seem to have a handle on what we need to do. And now the military saying, you know what? We're going to step in. We're going to take a bigger role in helping to manage this crisis.
Rolene, what do you think the difference is this time around? Why is it unsuccessful? You know, how do we go from one extreme to the other? What's changed?
Mm. That's a very good question, because we now have a health minister that seems, better equipped to handle the fight. Yesterday, Health Minister Yuli Edelstein actually suiting up in full PPE, going into the hospital to see what the experience is like for frontline health workers, for patients, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, please, you have to understand that for these people working 24/7, these suits are uncomfortable. It's hot. It's humid. The visors hurt. He said, spare a thought for people who are doing this 24/7 under these conditions, and of course for patients. I think that, and I have to be quite blunt, there was, I think that perhaps the government got a little bit complacent that we were handling well, and they shifted the ball to other political matters. And a lot of criticism leveled towards the Prime Minister. You shouldn't have even been speaking about application of sovereignty or annexation or anything like that until this virus was well and truly over, maybe till we have a vaccine, maybe till, we move out of this global pandemic. And a lot of criticism for him dropping the ball and letting it get completely out of hand, which is where it is today.
And of course, frustration just building and building. But again, also interesting to see that this is happening around the world. There's a tremendous amount of unrest here in South Africa in terms of frustration, in terms of protest, things like that. We're seeing it across America, and we're seeing a lot of protest in Israel as well. It's not terribly disobedient, although there are signs that it's moving towards that. I mean, earlier this week, you had that topless woman on the top of a menorah in Jerusalem.
Well, absolutely, and it's one thing to protest, it's another thing to desecrate the symbols of the state. And we understand she's a social worker. There are issues around social workers striking. That is very, very close to being sorted out. But there's one thing to protest respectfully, there's another thing to desecrate the symbols of Judaism and the symbols of the state, and that is absolutely uncalled for, and was condemned by our Speaker of the Knesset, Yariv Levine, who said this is absolutely untenable. But
and of course, what's also I don't understand, I find so deeply ironic, is using women's bodies as a weapon, because if anything objectifies a body, it is that drawing attention to yourself in that way, and yet at the same time fighting against this type of objectification and weaponization of the physical. So I don't really understand it, I must be honest.
I have to say, as a woman, I also don't. We have fought for so long to make our point without having to resort to objectifying ourselves.
Absolutely.
This really, the whole focus became a little bit chesty instead of on the important issues at hand. Oh, there are so many places. Howard Zanatti, I could go with puns, but I'm going to behave myself.
But I can see Zanatti's got something to say. Zanatti's deep in thought. She's got that look that says, just ask me what I'm thinking right now, because I'm thinking something.
No, yeah. I'm thinking because, and we've seen it with, all these people, the woke generation. Mm. The main thing is trying to take back your power. So I think after years of women's bodies being, objectified, I think that what's going on in their heads is that I'm using my body.
Okay, but then don't complain if that comes back at you. You know what I mean? You can't say, I'm going to use my body as a weapon, but then you are not allowed to use, you are not allowed the same, to fight it in the same way on those terms, because that becomes the language of dialogue then.
That now we are just using women's bodies.
Exactly. Yeah. And as Rolene is saying, I feel also so strongly about it, that women have spent so much time fighting, and so much energy fighting, not to just be perceived about being their bodies, and being fighting to be so much more than that. Doesn't this take it back? I don't know. Maybe as a male, I'm not understanding it, but I really can't
I don't understand your point, though. Maybe our listeners could help us.
Yeah, maybe. Give us your thoughts on 345-19 or 061-895-1019. Really?
Well, I do have to say, guys, that the only part of my body that I will be using to make a stand, and maybe I'm not very woke, is my brain and my mouth. So, you know, hopefully that has some effect.
Yes. And if necessary, you will use your stilettos if you have to throw something at somebody.
Listen, if I have to throw something, guys, I say this, you know, sounding very, very forceful and strong, but, you know, it's one thing to throw a stiletto. It's another thing to actually aim in the right direction.
All right, I get that. I'm with you on that. All right, what I don't get, Raleen, and I know I didn't want to talk about something so depressing on a Friday, but we are going to have to do this. I don't understand what in God's name anybody would do was thinking when they produced Marmite-flavored hummus. Please, Raleen, please. I know it's the 9 days, and we can talk about sad stuff like this, but just what is going on?
I don't understand this. And I have to take a stand as an Israeli, as a Middle Eastern person, as somebody who covers the political sphere, and I've seen how polarized we are at the moment, everybody, between Republican and Democrat and, you know, left and right. But really, Marmite versus hummus, and then you bring the two together.
I feel like this could bring me back to eating hummus.
With Marmite? So, Nati, you know what? Don't make me switch off your mic. Are you serious?
Don't be tampering with the hummus and nuts.
Rather, we had
Nigella Lawson thinking that you could put peanut butter and hummus together.
I don't understand it.
Don't do this.
Raleen, I haven't eaten hummus in almost 2 years.
Since you went to Israel, she overdosed and she actually hasn't been able to go near hummus again.
And for the first time, I feel like my interest has peaked.
I can't believe, Ronnie says a natty. You didn't just say that. But listen, I have to say that in my house, hummus is actually eaten with everything. our kids eat hummus with
I'm proud. I'm feeling like a mom all the way from Israel now, Howard, because this is the right way to do it. We have hummus with vegetables and hummus with falafel and hummus for breakfast, but we don't mix it with Marmite.
Yeah, that and, I just can't.
People have been attacking me. People have said to me, you know, you don't desecrate the Marmite. I stand firmly on the side of the hummus.
It's just because people have been trying for a while, haven't they? I mean, they've done this dessert hummus, this chocolate hummus, this, you know, I don't really get it. I mean, it's the savory thing.
I'm in.
Are you really in? Mm. Okay, so Zanati, are you going to try it?
I definitely want to.
Will you report back? Because I can't. I can tell you that
I can't, Zanati. You're going to have to take one for the team and really just let us know what this Marmite hummus really tastes.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Wow, I find it to be quite unacceptable. But there you go. All right, so here's a message. She took off her top because she was hot.
Oh yeah,
it's summer. It was summer. Okay, all right.
The water cannons can also sort out a problem if your temperature is right.
Okay, so this continues, and this is a listener in Israel says, but seriously, she does damage to us women. She highlights the way men see us women in an awful way, and I agree with that. I feel this takes such a massive step backwards.
Or maybe it's just that, you know, women are just trying to say that we can use our bodies however we want. We want to use our bodies however we want.
But then, Zanati, if you put it out there, then you can't, you don't set the rules.
Of course you do open yourself up to.
Of course you do. You set the rules or you change the rules, because you can't say to people, I'm going to take off my top and I'm going to use my body as a weapon. But you are not allowed to comment on that, and you're not allowed to be, you're not allowed to refer to my body or refer to the fact that I've taken my top off, because that's not acceptable. You've created that situation.
Mm.
But I think this is what we have with this woke generation. They can put it out, but they can't take it.
Absolutely right. And I feel the same about Mama Khumus. This is where we love and leave you, Rolien Marks. Thank you as always. An absolute delight to speak to you.
Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Thank you.
And don't mix the Marmite and the Khumus. Just that.